When I was a young man, my life changed in many ways. As an adolescent, I began to proclaim Jesus as my Lord and Savior in ways that as a child I didn't know. I also learned that almost anything to me seemed like it was the story of Christ. Around the time I was 10, 11 years old, a movie came out that changed my life in other ways. Some of you might remember when Star Wars Episode 4 came out. I found it interesting because it had all of the aspects that I was going through as a young man. It was a young country boy who was called into something deeper, who had a sneaking suspicion that he was made for something greater than just being a boy on the farm. It was around this time that I was receiving my call into ministry, and though I didn't know what it was at that time, I felt for sure that God had something big planned for me. It was a story, the Star Wars story, was a story that in many ways mirrored the gospel story. It was a story of good and evil. It was the story of literally light against darkness. It was the story where heroes would bring love to the world, or they would collapse under the temptation of darkness. Before midichlorians and before Jar Jar Binks, Star Wars changed a lot of people's visions of the world. What really struck me as I was preparing for the sermon was that Star Wars begins in the middle. It begins in Episode 4. And as a kid, I never really quite figured that out. In fact, I didn't even notice it. Even though the scroll said Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, I just saw Star Wars. For me, it was the beginning of the story. But it wasn't intended to be the beginning. It was intended to be a new beginning of a story that predated the story of Star Wars. This understanding of new beginnings is exactly the same as our understanding that we face when we enter into the story of God at the resurrection. It's the beginning and it's the end, all at the same time. It's the starting place, but it's also the end of something. It's the culmination of something else. We get into trouble when we forget that it's both a beginning and an end. Some people in the church get into trouble when they think it's just the end. Often people's faith ends at the resurrection. What I mean by that is that we see Jesus rising as the end of the story and there's nothing else to do. The victory is won, go home and take a nap because the rest of your day is already fixed. It's not the end. It's the beginning of the end. It's the end of the beginning. It's the present and where we are. We can get into trouble when we think it's the beginning. In fact, in the early church, they got into trouble. They forgot the Jewish roots of Jesus as Messiah. And many early Christians ignored what God had already started. And because they ignored what happened in Israel with the Exodus and the Ten Commandments and the failure of the kings, what they did was they lost track of what Jesus was saving us from and what Jesus was calling us to. You see, Jesus isn't here just to save our souls. Jesus is here to bring a kingdom. And if Jesus is here to bring a kingdom, then Jesus is what? The King. The Lord of our lives. I find it fascinating that we like to say Jesus is Lord, and we don't know what that means. Lord is what you say to the King, right? And that King, Jesus, is calling us to live in faith. Now, today we tell the old, old story that Jesus Christ is risen. And for most of us, the resurrection is the beginning of our faith. It was for me. When I knew that Christ had risen from the grave, to me it was the recognition historically, and recognize I keep saying that word, historically, because I want to make sure that you understand that this isn't just a cute fairy tale, that this is a historic reality, that Jesus bodily rose from the grave, and he walked around and he met people. That's what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians 15. I saw Jesus. James saw Jesus. Peter saw Jesus. Thomas touched his hands, felt those wounds. They ate fish with him. It happened, and it changed their lives. It changed their lives. Because that's the evidence of the resurrection. Changed lives. You see, when I watched Star Wars, it was a great show. But it didn't change my life. Because it wasn't real. Because no matter how hard I wanted to be a Jedi, and no matter how hard I practiced with my lightsaber, it still wasn't real. Now, if you were a 10-year-old boy and you saw Star Wars, you wanted to be Luke Skywalker. If you were 14 or 15, maybe Han Solo. Okay, I'll give you that. But for a 10-year-old boy, it was Luke. And I wanted to be the hero. As I grew up, I realized that the true story that we live today in Christ allows me to be a hero. The true story of Jesus doesn't just ask me to tell the story or to learn the story or to understand the story. The story of Jesus asks me to live the story. That's the hope. That's why it's episode 4. That we're talking about in the resurrection of Jesus. Because it recognizes all that's gone before, and it recognizes that right now we're at the point where we can enter the story. We can be called into the story. A true story. A real story. I've gotten to the point where as I'm getting older, it's easier to hear a good story and then roll over and take a nap. Anyone else with me at that point? Okay? That place where you want to hear about other people's exploits, where you want to hear about, you know, you watch the news and you say, I wish someone would do something about this. Now, when I was younger, I didn't wish someone would do something about this. When I was younger, I said, someday I am going to do something about this. Young people, any of you feel that way? That someday I'm going to do something about this? Well, let me tell you the story of the resurrection. Because the story of the resurrection tells me that old people will say, today is the day that something gets done. And young people will say, today is the day that I will do something because God is alive in my life. God is living, and I have nothing to fear. In order to do this, we've got to reverse our vision of the resurrection. Most of us see the resurrection today as this picture. It's the observer's view of the resurrection. It's what we see when we look into the tomb. When the apostles, when the women first got there, they looked in. When Peter and John got there, they looked in. And looking in is fascinating. And looking in is incredible. because it's bearing witness to what God has done. But looking in isn't what God has instructed us to do, is it? The church really begins when we look out. When we change our perspective from looking into the tomb and witnessing what God is doing to being sent from the tomb and sharing with the world what has been accomplished. When the apostles left the tomb, the church began. When they left what had been done. Now, here's the truth. Most of the apostles, whenever great things happened, they wanted to stay right there, didn't they? That's what happened when Jesus was transfigured. Remember, Peter, James, and John said, hey, we should stay right here where you were transfigured. And Jesus says, no. Now, it's amazing to me that the church still debates where Jesus was resurrected from. Do you realize that? The church still doesn't know, historically speaking, where the actual tomb was. There's many different traditions and many different ways of looking at it. Some people think it's underneath the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Some people think it's the Garden Tomb. There's a lot of different locations and sites. And let me tell you why. The reason we don't know for sure is because the church didn't keep going back there. If the church had seen that as the sacred place, they would have held their meetings there. They would have done everything there, right? I mean, recognize, this is the place where it happened. And yet, it was lost to history. Because the resurrection didn't call people to an old tomb. The resurrection called people to a new world. And it transported them into the position where all of a sudden, they were given responsibilities to do the work of God in Jesus Christ. Now, this is what's exciting to me about the resurrection. I don't always live it, but when I live it, I live, and I'm alive. The resurrection is exciting for me because it tells me this simple truth. If the worst thing that could happen to me today happens, I can be in paradise with Jesus. Now think about that for a moment. There are things in your life that you're standing back and you're watching. You're afraid to act because you're afraid to fail. There are dreams that you have. There are risks that you seek to take. But most people never get where they want to go. They never reach their goals because they're afraid of failure. Now, what the resurrection tells me that if my dream and goal is the goal and dream of God in my life, if it's the vision of Jesus that's inspired in my heart, then the worst thing that can happen if I reach out in faith is I get to spend eternity with Jesus. Most of us are afraid because we're afraid something bad's going to happen. Well, what's worse than that? There's nothing that can go but wrong. If you simply embrace a resurrection perspective, Jesus has solved the problem. And here's where I'm really talking about it, folks. Because most of our risks, most of the things we're afraid of in life, we're afraid to do things like forgive and love and risk our finances or our own health in loving and sharing with someone else? How many times have you withheld something because you were afraid that someone was going to hurt you? Or you didn't tell them the truth because you were afraid that someone was going to blame you or hurt you in some way? Folks, it's time to tell the truth in Jesus. It's time to love people fully. It's time to embrace the resurrection and the life. And that time is now. And here's the thing I want to tell you. When we say Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. And Patty, you can say it anytime you want. He is risen indeed. Very good. We say is. Have you ever wondered why? Because we could well say Jesus was risen, right? And if we think that it's something that's future, we could say Jesus will be risen. But we say is. It's present reality, and it maintains present reality because it's not just his present reality, it is my present reality. Jesus is alive, and because he is alive, I am alive. And I can serve Jesus with all that I am. As I told you when I was a kid, I really wanted to join the rebellion. Okay, we all had them. I still have them in my house because I have kids and I have grandkids. They all had lightsabers. Okay, and by the time my kids and now my grandkids came up, I mean, some of these things I think could really cut things. I don't know about you, but they seem like they're close to real. The reality is that we love to play the games. But this is real. Jesus is calling you to radically change the world. Now, the resurrection doesn't make life any easier, but it does let you know that life has purpose and that you have a heroic purpose in life. That you are someone who has been called to a special purpose to share God's love with the world around you. Now, here's the reality. Not a lot of other people think this way anymore. A lot of people know the resurrection, but they don't live the resurrection. They know that Jesus has been raised from the dead, but they don't allow it to change their lives. We resist that. Today is the day that we recognize that God has changed your life. It's not just a get out of jail free for heaven and hell. It's a get out of jail free for today, for your real life. It allows you to love and to follow, but it's not a story that you watch. It's not a story that you can really appreciate until you enter it. Easter's not something that we just talk about. Easter is a life that you live in following Jesus Christ. Now, I told you earlier that when we change our perception from looking into the tomb to looking from the tomb into the world, that's when the gospel really grows and lives. It took the apostles a while to learn how to do that, and it was with the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost that they truly embraced that. And then they moved out into the world, and believe it or not, they embraced what Jesus told them right before he died in the Gospel of John. Jesus said that they will know you for your love. You'll know that they will know that you're mine because of your love one for the other. They'll know that you are, that I was the Son of God because of your love one for the other. You see, as we live the gospel in faith and in love and in grace, you know what people see? They see Jesus alive. And they see Jesus alive in you. It's historically true, but it's also true because we live it. I want to challenge you this Easter and in the days to come to continue following Jesus and loving Jesus and loving the people of God and those outside of the church in a new and special way. Jesus is alive. And the world will know it because Jesus is alive in you and in me. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks and praise for all that you have accomplished. We thank you that today we can proclaim that Jesus Christ is alive. That today we can say with surety that Jesus on the third day rose from the tomb. He appeared to the disciples. And those disciples continue to bear witness in love and in faithfulness in the Spirit of God. Lord Jesus, we thank you that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have given us the ability to serve you and to proclaim your resurrection and to show the world your love. Lord God, he is alive. And we know it because Jesus is alive in the church today. And let the church say amen.